Can I tell you about my week? Okay, because I need to unload a little bit. It's been a lot going on. I'll get kind of the bigger stuff, but pretty big. My son plays lacrosse, which is a lot of fun, until he takes the end of a lacrosse stick right to the Adam's apple Tuesday night at practice. And it doesn't happen often, but, you know, my son. And so, you know, it happened. And so I had no voice, which is not an entire, you know, that's actually a blessing in some ways. But we were concerned. He was in a lot of pain, went and got a shower. We're just trying to calm him down. And you know, we try not to just go flying off the handle right away. And then we're checking out the symptoms online. You know, you go to doctor, scareyourselftodeath.com, and you know, your kid is dying, get to the hospital.com, but find out it's a pretty serious injury, and so we need to go there. And so he has no voice. He's hurting. He's up, you know, obviously upset and a little scared. And so we go to Ohio Health right here, which is a great place. And I was thinking urgent care, and then when the registration lady come into me, you'll see kind of the layers of this, and she said, well, your copay for emergency rooms is $300. Okay, I'll give you like a dollar, you know, and pay you the rest someday, you know, and tried to wink, and you know, and so gave him a little bit of money, and she went away, and so that was good. And then, of course, the doctor looks at him and does the x-rays, and they say, oh, well, he needs to go to Children's Hospital. And so, and we're concerned for anything to happen, if anything. I mean, it was a serious injury. And so they said, we think he should be transported by ambulance. And so we get the ambulance, and then we go check into another emergency room. And so we had the injury, which ended up, they gave him they gave him a steroid shot. He was able to kind of, the swelling went down, and he's breathing and playing lacrosse this afternoon. So life goes on with 12-year-old boys. They just tend to cost their parents lots of money along the way. But the layers of finance, the finances aren't really going to be real until the envelope starts showing up in the mail, right? So I've still have yet to figure out what that little escapade is going to cost me. And not to just bellyache endlessly, but this is, you know, the washer went out last week, and we're moving out Lily, which we'll get to my last point here. And so on top of everything, what's consumed our family's life, which most of you know, if not all of you, is that our oldest is moving away tomorrow, like moving to California away, you know, pretty serious stuff. And so we're just kind of all focused on it. There's lots of emotions. We're excited. We're sad. We're nervous, all of these things. So is it okay if I preach to myself today? Because the question for us and the question for me is, how do I stay calm in the middle of chaos? Last week, we started a new journey in the Bible. Our new journey is taking us through the book of John, and specifically into seven statements that Jesus made that all start with two very important little words. And they are, I am. Now, those two little words meant a lot to the people Jesus was speaking to. The faith of the Jewish people at that time was based on the teachings of Moses from 1,500 years earlier. And Moses was called by God. If you're familiar, we're getting up to the Easter story, which is tied to Passover, which is about the Israelites being released from the nation of Egypt. And so if you've ever seen the Prince of Egypt or the Ten Commandments, that's what this time of year is all about. And so Moses was the kind of the main man in that situation. He was called by God and told to lead God's people. And he asked God, when I go down to Egypt and the people ask me who sent me, what do I tell them? And it says in Exodus 3:14, God told Moses, you tell them that I am sent you. I am what? Well, we're dealing with God who is, I am everything. And he just says, I am. Jesus, in these seven statements, he's making these declarations on purpose. Jesus is completing the statement that God gave to Moses. Jesus is not just making comments about how he is feeling. So we move through the day and we say all kinds of things like, I am broke. I am scared for my kid. I am sad about, you know, oldest kid leave it, I am. We name all these things that kind of describe, I am hungry, I am going to the store, right? I am, I am, I am. But Jesus is making statements that define his identity. Jesus uses the expression I am 7 times in the Gospel of John, so we have 7 windows into the identity of Jesus. Last week we began with I am the light of the world. You can catch that on Podbean or off of our website, picktownfc.com. All our messages are usually there by Wednesday, the next Wednesday. Today's I am is statement is in John 6:35. You ready for it? Are you ready for it? Okay, stay with me. Jesus replied, I am preaching to me, but you guys got to stay along for the ride. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So how do I stay calm in the middle of chaos? Because Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the source of my life. Just like with the sun last year, Jesus is saying that our need for him is greater than any physical need we have. Last week was I am the light of the world. And we have this sun that our little world revolves around, and we know that it is basically essential for every bit of our life, the way God designed it. And Jesus, in one statement, said, I'm more important to your well-being than the sun that's shining. And this week, he's saying, I'm more important to your livelihood than anything you eat or drink. So he's taking these elements that we know that our physical body is dependent on, and he's saying, I'm more important. We all know that we need to eat and drink to stay alive. Our physical existence is greatly influenced by what we eat. Not only does no food equals no life, but also the quality of our diet helps to determine the quality of our life. Jesus is saying that part of his identity is that our spiritual existence depends on our relationship with Jesus. Not just no relationship with Jesus, no life. That is very true. We exist here as a church to help people make the introduction. I mean, that's so important that people come to know Jesus. But not just no relationship, no life, but also the quality of that relationship will determine the quality of your spiritual life, right? So there's people who are saved that are still just really miserable because they're not really embracing all that God has for them. Jesus is stating with this I am that he is supposed to be the source of our lives and not just a resource to deal with some of our problems. How do I know that he wants to be more than my cosmic vending machine? Well, our verse today starts with Jesus replied. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Well, who is he replying to? Our story begins in John 6, verse 2. Tell your neighbor it's story time. Tell your neighbor it's story time. We're not getting on our mats. There's no nap time afterwards, but our story today is in John 6, 2-35. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, says it right here, for he already knew what he was going to do. How cool is that? Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Well, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" Jesus said, "Tell everyone to sit down." So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with the scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. So Jesus has miraculously fed around 10,000 people when you factor in women and children. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. We have to start with this miracle today because it sets the stage for the conversation that Jesus is about to have. The miracle was never the end game for Jesus. It was always to provoke a response by the people, and then actually deeper, it was always to have a discussion with his followers afterwards so that he could teach them what God was really doing. It wasn't just about feeding a bunch of people. The crowd got pretty excited, as you would expect, and Jesus basically sneaks away from the hype. The scripture goes on to say that the crowd searched for him the next day until they found him. They talked about we're talking about a larger lake, but they could easily move around within a day and go to the different major towns, you know, at the different fishing areas around the, or fishing ports around the lake. And so they're basically tracking down Jesus. But not only did they just hear teaching, but they just watched him feed 10,000 people. They are excited. They're tracking him down. We're going to catch up in verse 25. They found him on the other side of the lake, and they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miracle. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They go back at him again. They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign." They want to see another one. Isn't that awesome? It's like, come on. "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do?" They're talking to Jesus. "After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." And then our verse for today, Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let's go through this conversation as it goes back and forth. So Jesus replies to them. They track him down, and he says, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miracle." So a question for us today is, and Jesus is asking, do you love the miracle or do you love me? Right? Us parents, we take care of our kids. Do you love what I do for you or do you love me? And so we don't want the real answer sometimes. But maturity comes when you realize the value of what somebody is and not what they do for you, right? That's part of maturity. And Jesus is looking at a crowd of people that are chasing him, just wanting to see another miracle. Just wanting another free miracle, free meal. He goes back at him. He says, "But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." Immaturity only sees the moment. And this is, I'm still figuring this one out, okay? Immaturity only sees the moment. So they're thinking, "I'm hungry. I want to see a cool miracle, and this man can give me food." They're thinking of right now, and that's what we do with, unfortunately, too many of our decisions, right? I want this. I don't have the money for it, but I'm going to finance it or something like that. I want this. I can't have it, but I'm going to do what I can do to have it. We make a decision for the moment without thinking of the future. So immaturity makes decisions just for the moment. What's a baby do? I want my food now. I want my diaper changed now. I want my mommy now, right? And as we get older, we know that we have to wait for some things. Maturity sees beyond the moment. I'm dead inside, and Jesus is offering me life. So I can be in the moment and just want a meal, or I can see through what he's really there to do and to change my heart. Jesus is trying to convince them to look beyond the moment, but they don't get it. They are stuck on the moment, and they are stuck on the miracle. So listen to verse 28 again. They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" They're just stuck on this thing. Have you ever spent time with someone just because they have cool toys? Be honest. Let me tell you about Larry. God reminded me of this. Larry is a kid that grew up around the corner from me. And so I probably had about 10 years or so where we lived near each other. He was more my sister's age, so a little bit younger. But Larry, we had a little pool, which was cool. We had a lot of fun with it. Larry had the big kayak pool. But even more importantly, Larry had a Nintendo. And not to throw stones at the parents who did a pretty good job of raising me, but we didn't even have a TV. Now, they say it's out of love, but I think it was some sort of weird torture. So, when Nintendo hit, let me just tell you that every kid was playing till their thumbs were out, and now we've got all kinds of different options, but Nintendo ruled, and it wasn't even Nintendo whatever, because it was just Nintendo. 8 bits of pure glory. Larry wasn't my friend. He was kind of a dork. God bless you, Larry. But he had a Nintendo. Larry, you want to play? Well, your house or mine? Well, I mean, your house. I think he had air conditioning, too. So, isn't that terrible? I think I did all right, right? Have you ever played with someone just because they had amazing toys? Be honest. So many times we really don't want more of Jesus. We just want to play with the miracles. We just want what he can do for us. I've heard it phrased another way. What are you looking forward to about heaven? A lot of times seeing Jesus is low on the list. That hurts, right? Because the first thing I think of is loved ones that I'm believing are there and, you know, other things. We just want to play with the miracles. Jesus tries again. Verse 29, he says, "This is the only thing God wants from you. Believe in the one who was sent." So they said, "We want to do cool stuff too. Let us in on that. That's cool." And Jesus said, "All God wants, all my Father wants is right here. He wants you to believe in me." Jesus is telling them, "I want your honor, not just your applause. I want to give you eternal life, not just another meal." Jesus had to get frustrated at times because it says they answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you." What can you do? Moses fed our ancestors in the desert. Now, what are they talking about here? Well, after Moses takes the group of people out of Egypt and they go through the sea, and all these series of miracles, next thing you know, they're in the desert with a whole lot of people, up to, we're talking hundreds of thousands. The range, the guest range is anywhere from 100,000 to 1 million, depending through their journey there. A lot of people. Well, they needed food. And then it says that God began to provide manna, which we still don't know exactly what it is, but some sort of grain was on the ground every morning for them to harvest, and coincidentally, enough manna for 2 days the day before the Sabbath so that they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. How cool is that? So the same amount, just enough for every day, and then the day before the Sabbath, there'd be 2 days worth. If they tried to keep it, it turned rotten into worms, and so God just took care of them. So what they're saying is, and while you and I were both impressed with Jesus feeding 10,000 people, they just told Jesus, well, Moses fed, let's just say, pick a number in the middle. Well, Moses fed 500,000 people every day for years. 10,000 people. I mean, put these into perspective. We're blown away by the 10,000. We forget how amazing it was that food appeared every morning to feed hundreds of thousands of people. What can you do for us? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth that Moses didn't give you bread, my Father did. So let's get this straight, first of all, on who did the giving here. And now he offers you the true bread. If all we care about is the food or whatever else we need in the moment, we will all make the mistake, just like the people in the desert, and give the credit to Moses instead of God. So here's how it went. People needed food. They complained to Moses. Moses prayed to God. God provided the food. And now Moses is getting the credit for the food. How come Moses is getting the credit? So let's look back at my week again and just focus on the moments and the specific needs in those moments. Benjamin gets hurt. But I don't want my son to be hurt. I want my son to be well. I want to know that this is just a normal 12-year-old, I get hurt all the time injury, and everything's going to be okay. So I pray. We go to a couple hospitals. We see a few doctors. And we move through that. Well, because of that and other situations going on, we've got this incredible drain on our finances the last couple weeks. Well, I pray about it, but I also keep going to work, and the two places I work, including here, are nice enough to pay me. And then we've got our kid leaving, and so I can just think, well, I took care of her, and now Jaime's going to take care of her. If I'm not careful, I will miss seeing God's provision for my needs, because I'm going to give the credits for Ben to doctors. I'm going to end up giving the credit for surviving financially to me, just going to work. And I'm going to give the credit for taking care of Lily to myself and then to Jaime. I can look at the immediate, who's doing the transacting here, who's doing what, and I can, just like the people in the desert, I can say, gosh, Moses, thanks for feeding us. Right? If I'm not careful, I will miss seeing God's provision and give the wrong people the credit that only God deserves. So how do I stay calm in the middle of chaos? Or how do I try to stay calm in the middle of chaos? Thankfully, as a teenager, I told God that I wanted all of him and that he could have all of me. I decided that I wanted Jesus more than anything he could do for me. Now, I've made plenty of mistakes along the way. And God has been graciously patient with me. But he has proven consistently that he is the source of my life and everything in it. Jesus is the source of my family's protection. Jesus is the source of my family's provision. Jesus is the source of my family's healing. We can stay calm in the middle of chaos because we worship the great I am. So when Jesus tells us, I am the bread of life, he is declaring that part of his identity is that he is the true source of everything we need. Isn't that awesome? He cares that my son was injured. He cares about my financial needs. He cares that our family is changing. But God loves you and me so much that he just doesn't want us to ask him for a piece of bread every time we need it. He wants us to want him more than what he can do for us. And so I could get focused on those moments. And sure, times of crisis, they should drive you to prayer. They should. That's natural. But if those are the only times I'm talking to God, God, heal my son. God, I need some moolah. God, help us go through this change in our family. Keep them safe, right? If I'm not careful, those are the only times I'm going to talk to him. And then even dumber, I still might not give him the credit for it. And so the only way to really travail through. The only way to really walk through all of that is if there's a relationship with him that's beneath all of the things that I need. He wants us to want him more than what he can do for us. He wants to have a relationship with you and me today. Can we close? Just bow your heads where you're at. It's a simple message today. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life." Are you tired of going meal to meal spiritually? Are you tired of feeling like you don't know what's next? And that you're barely hanging on? I don't know. If you've never declared your life's dependency on Jesus as its source, and you are ready to today, I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you in prayer. And it's a simple declaration of, Jesus, I need you. I need you to forgive me. I need you to set me free from some things. And then I need you to lead me. If all you want is the miracle, then it's really not for you. What he's asking today is, do you want me? Do you want a relationship with me? Do you want more than a meal? Do you want eternal life? If that's you today, would you raise your hand? I just want to pray with you. Take this moment right now. And it's not just no food equals no life, but it's also the quality of our diet, the quality of our relationship determines the quality of our life. If you see yourself, if this message has provoked a feeling of, man, I'm not leaning on Jesus. I'm not looking to him beyond the paycheck, behind the paycheck. I'm not looking to him behind the doctor. I'm not looking to him behind my ability to take care of my kids. I'm not looking to him as the real source behind the vessels that he uses. If you're missing Jesus, if you're missing giving him the credit, and you want to make that right today, would you raise your hand? I just want to pray. I see that hand. I appreciate it. These are honest things. I see those hands. It's wonderful to reclaim your dependency on Christ. Because I can't make it on my own. I can't do this. But when I know that I'm relying on him, it changes everything. Father God, I thank you for these hearts today that would respond to your truth. God, I thank you for hearts today that would re-choose you. Father God, that we would choose you over anything that you could do for us. And God, I thank you that in that relationship, then we can trust you, that you are going to meet our needs. You're going to do those things for us. But that the real value is in our relationship with you. God, I thank you for this word. God, I thank you for carrying us. God, I thank you that we can have calm in the middle of chaos because we have Christ. Amen. We're going to take communion today. Verse 33, Jesus said, "The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And verse 34, they said, "Give us that bread every day." And so communion is more than a piece of bread. It's more than a little bit of grape juice. It's a picture of us choosing to remember that Jesus is the source of our life. And so communion, for us, we do it on the first Sunday of the month. It's every time it's available from Jesus to you as a reminder that he is the bread of life. And so Danielle and I will be up here. If you would, just take a piece of bread. You can dip it in the juice, and then you just eat it right away. And it's open. You don't have to. But Jesus offers it to you today. And so as we're worshiping, just come forward and take it, and we'll finish with a song together.